Hello, welcome to Mosaics, a podcast by the Idaho Office for Refugees. I'm Holly Beach, your host. Today, I'm joined by Joe and Kim Mitchell of Idaho Falls. They have been on the podcast before, so you might recognize their names. And we are here today to talk about Welcome Corps and private sponsorships. It's a new program available to Americans to privately sponsor refugees. And Joe and Kim have firsthand experience on what the process is like and what it's been like to bring people to their community that way. So I'm really excited to chat with them about what that's been like. And before we jump in, Joe and Kim, I'd love to give you a chance to introduce yourselves. Tell me more about who you are and what your background is.
So first of all, thank you for inviting us. The Idaho Office for Refugees has been great friends to us, and so we're glad to be here. Mm-hmm. We both grew up in Idaho. I went to high school in Plummer. Kim went to high school in Riggins. We met at the University of Idaho, and we have lived in Idaho most of our lives, with the exception of for 7 years we lived in China in a location near Tibet. So that's been a part of our life that shaped our backstory quite a bit. But other than that, we've lived in various places throughout Idaho, and we're proud to be Idahoans.
How did you first hear that private sponsorship of refugees was an option?
I did some research on bringing refugees to Idaho and didn't find anything, and in fact gave up. And I just went back at it one more time thinking just maybe. Quick prayer and looked, and voila, there was information about sponsor circles opening up soon, and so we just jumped on it right away.
Was there a specific world event that made you look into that?
We lived in a town near Tibet, and we had a family, actually a clan, an extended clan, kind of adopt us into their family when we were working there doing relief and development work, poverty relief and development. And they brought us like to their weddings and funerals, and our kids played with their kids. They settled us, and they showed us the ropes around town and just how to navigate life there. And so we wanted to do the same thing here, show that same welcome and hospitality to people from another place.
Wow. And when you were there, were you able to communicate them in the same language?
So Chinese was their second language. It was our second language, and we got along pretty well in Chinese, yeah.
When you were in a foreign land, what was like something that you remember early on being something like the most uncomfortable or kind of scary for you?
I remember going to the bank to, in those days before ATMs, cashing traveler's checks. And a bank in rural China is kind of like a scrum. And to get to the front of the line to actually cash your traveler's check, you would need to keep your elbows out and literally box out people like you're getting a rebound. The people you're boxing out could be like 70-year-old grandmothers that are trying to duck under and get to the front of the line, and just thinking, wow, this is such a different experience. And it would usually take quite a while. So that's a pretty random example, but just something as simple as standing in line at the bank.
That would be my nightmare. Like, I hate confronting people, like just being our own space. Yeah. Like, oh man, I would never get my banking done. I think I would just get cut in front of.
Yeah, we loved our time in China, and there's so many things about Chinese culture and minority culture that value relationships and value community that we have tried to bring back to our lifestyle in the States. So I'm sure we learned way more than we were able to pass on while we were there.
Have you found that it's hard to bring it back?
A little. People tend to be busy and schedule driven in the U.S. and not so much in the different places that we were in rural China. Mm-hmm. And this was very different than like modern Shanghai, Beijing, China. This was rural minority autonomous areas. So it was a much slower pace of lifestyle that we enjoyed a lot.
That's really cool. What year did you move back?
We were in China 7 years total from 1993 to 2010, and we moved permanently back to Idaho Falls in 2010.
So you're trying 2003 to 2010? Or sorry, I was trying to do the math.
1993
17 years?
Was the first time that we were there. So off and on.
Over the years.
Yeah, for a total of 7 years.
Okay, I see. Gotcha. So you came back 2010 is when you moved back and were interested in helping provide that experience for somebody else that had to move away from their home country. And then it wasn't, in my understanding, it wasn't until 2022 that they opened private sponsorship opportunities in response to the fall of Kabul and so many people from Afghanistan coming. Is that when you first got involved through that?
Yeah.
Pretty sure that the announcement was October
22nd, 2021.
As a response to the normal resettlement infrastructure being somewhat overwhelmed with the spike of people that were eligible to come under the Operation Allies Welcome program from Afghanistan. And so at the time, the Welcome Corps was called Sponsor Circles, and that became available to take the load off that backlog of people needing resettlement and also just open up new opportunities for people like us.
So what did you do when you saw that opportunity? How did you go about being involved?
So Kim was the primary driver and the one who was keeping track of things. But what we did was invited a lot of our friends, maybe invited probably 40 people to a meal at our house, and probably 20 of those came. And we explained the opportunity and then asked if we could get a group of five that would make the commitment to become a sponsor circle and take on the primary responsibility for resettlement.
When you say the primary responsibility for resettlement, can you just give a brief outline of what that looks like?
Go ahead.
There's a checklist of about 30 things that need to be done. It would include things like finding the first housing, trying to help find the first job, get Social Security card, employee authorization documents, be connected with the community that the people are from. So in the first sponsor circle we did, that was the local Muslim community. And then the second sponsor circle we did, it was the local Ukrainian community. Mm-hmm. Connect them in. Learn how to drive, get a driver's license, learn how to shop, get them Winco cards, and get started on how to eat a culturally appropriate diet with what's available in Idaho Falls. Mm-hmm. It's a long list, and most of the things seemed as if they needed to be done at the same time, like immediately.
Yeah.
So the first couple of months really took all hands on deck with our five-member team.
Wow.
And we're here on the podcast, but the team was key in the success of both of these sponsor circles. Mm. So shout out to Stephen and Hannah and Carl and Jake and Cassie and Daniel and Sarah.
Wow.
They were all the best teammates you could imagine for tackling this effort.
That's so cool. So just to clarify for anyone listening, the first round you were able to welcome three guys from Afghanistan who had been pilots and who had served alongside our military and then had to evacuate in 2021. So you're able to welcome them here. And then the second time you were a sponsor circle, or at this point I think it might have been for Uniting for Ukraine, mm-hmm. you were able to welcome a family from Ukraine. Young family, right? I believe they even have a new family member now.
They
since
too.
They got
yeah.
here.
So. This chubby baby boy.
Oh,
very right. healthy and happy.
Yeah, three generational family with a 5-year-old with special medical needs.
Mm.
And the wife was expecting when they came to the U.S. So,
wow.
In comparison with the first sponsor circle, some things were more difficult because we were learning everything for the first time, and the city of Idaho Falls was learning how to help us for the first time. The second resettlement had its own challenges, which were the family didn't speak English as well, and the special complex medical situation that family was in.
Mm-hmm.
The pilots from Afghanistan, of course, were totally healthy, fit for duty fighter pilots. So,
and probably knew English. They knew the military.
Yep, English was their third or fourth language, but it was still high level enough to enroll in academic classes at the community college.
Mm, okay. So with the family from Ukraine, did you have to use an interpreter a lot, or how did you go about the communication?
Google Translate.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were great at it.
Wow.
The wife looks at me in the eye when she's speaking and just uses her phone and makes really good eye contact. And I forget sometimes that we're actually using Google Translate.
Wow.
To talk with each other. It's actually pretty comfortable because she's really warm and she just wants to connect and
wow.
Wants us to know each other. And so the part of using the phone, it works. It works pretty well.
Is that more of a voice to text and then it will read it back? Or is it more she has to type out what she wants to say?
Voice to text,
okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Have you had any embarrassing mishaps in terms of what it was said and what was understood?
Yeah, we have had something about howling at the moon, which had nothing to do with the conversation. And,
okay, so one, the grandmother in the family, 67-year-old grandmother, and I were out looking at the rain gutters on the house that they were staying in. There'd been a storm, and we were trying to make sure that the basement didn't flood again. And we were looking at them, and she's a very capable lady who runs her own farm in the Ukraine, and she talked for a while into Google Translate, pressed the button, and the voice said, there's grass in my bra.
Oh.
So that was not on topic at all, and she got embarrassed and re-said the sentence and had it come out in a way that made more sense.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. There's always going to be something like that when you're dealing with, I know I've said some embarrassing things in my attempts to speak Spanish, but that's part of being vulnerable, right, and learning, and it's cool to have a safe family there that you already know to make those mistakes in front of. Have you found with both of the different groups that you've sponsored their adjustment to be, how have you found that to be any challenges or maybe some special meaningful parts of it? Like, how have you found that process?
The pilots have said their adjustment is really good. They have said that the U.S. is like, for them, has been like paradise. Mm-hmm. If their wives could be brought here, then they would just be as happy as they could possibly be. Mm-hmm. So that went really well.
There's a larger Ukrainian community in Idaho Falls than Afghan community. Mm-hmm. In fact, there was zero members of the Afghan community when the guys got there.
Wow.
But that community has really helped with the second resettlement, with making people, helping with translation, cultural adjustment. So tapping into the local cultural community was really key there. And with the Afghan guys, we got the support of the Idaho Falls Muslim Association. So even though they weren't from Afghanistan and weren't Hazara, they were very supportive and very helpful to us and to the guys.
Wow. You're comfortable sharing, are there any success stories so far from their time here that you would like to celebrate?
Yeah, ton of success. The family with Uniting for Ukraine, the father in less than a year started his own tiling business called Craft Tile.
Wow.
And that's up and going, and he's had his first customer. The Afghan gentlemen are doing school at College of Eastern Idaho. Nursing and electrical engineering. They have jobs, great jobs. They're making friends. They hang out with classmates. They've gone camping. They've gone hiking. So they're both in a personal manner and also in terms of the roles and jobs they've needed to do. There have been successes all along the way.
I have one story that is, I would consider it a community success, and that is in Idaho Falls, one of the biggest citywide events of the year is called the Martin Luther King Banquet that my friend Dave Snell organizes each year, and it gets about 400 people who are the leaders in the community, the mayors, city council, business leaders. And 2 years ago, Dave invited me to present what we were doing with Bridge Builders at that banquet. So what I did was had the three pilots record a video in their own words about their journey from taking planes that wouldn't fall into the hands of the Taliban to detention camps in Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, the U.S. Air Force helping them get out to the United States, and then how well the people in Idaho Falls had welcomed them. And when they finished, when the video finished, there was a spontaneous standing ovation. And it was a beautiful thing to see our community appreciate what these guys had done fighting alongside our U.S. Air Force and their courage in their journey to Idaho Falls, and then also the connection that they already felt after a year in Idaho Falls to the people there. So there's when we're talking about the resettlement, there's heroes in the story. They're not Kim and me. The heroes in the story are the refugee families that have come here.
Wow, that's really cool. Kim said that, you know, they're really enjoying their time. If only their wives could get here. It has been a long time since they've been able to see their wives. What has it been now? 2 years? Two and a half
yes,
years?
Yes, 2.5.
And what does that timeline look like for someone in their shoes trying to reunite with a spouse or another family member?
We don't technically know, but estimates, it could be another 2.5 years before they're together, perhaps longer with the backlog of paperwork that needs to be done to make things happen to have the wives come.
Wow.
So
we've supported the passage of the Afghan Adjustment Act in Congress, but that has not made its way to a vote yet. That would speed up the process. So I hope that the U.S. Congress will pass some form of legislation that will allow quicker family reunification for the pilots who are already here.
Okay. In Idaho Falls, so eastern Idaho, I know there's been resettlement there farther back in the past, but in recent years there hasn't been. As Idaho Office for Refugees, we partner with agencies in Boise and in Twin Falls. How far is Twin Falls from Idaho Falls?
It's more than 100 miles.
Okay, it's pretty far.
Yeah, since the Refugee Act of 1980 that established that 100-mile radius for resettlement for within that range of an agency, there haven't been refugees that have come through the official channels in Idaho Falls. So these are the first families in just over 40 years.
Mm. And you shared about the community support and especially that touching video at the banquet, but I imagine you had to do some groundwork maybe to educate people about what was going on. And maybe that groundwork is continuing to happen, just to kind of share about what this is. What is Welcome Corps? Because now the private sponsor groups is called Welcome Corps. Still the same parameters, I believe. You need a group of five. You have to raise a certain amount of money and apply and go through all this training, right, and application period, and commit to a very extensive checklist of resettlement and placement services that you yourself as a private citizen will take on, which is a huge commitment. And so people in Idaho, though, see that and deeply care. And like you guys, they want someone who has been displaced to have a safe place to end up and raise their families, and they want to be a part of that. So that has been gaining some interest and traction. We haven't had a lot of Welcome Corps arrivals in Idaho at this point, but I have been working too to try to let people know what it is and what it means for Idaho. How have you been having that conversation?
The one thing that has surprised us in building community support is that welcoming refugees doesn't fall neatly into a red issue or a blue issue. Mm-hmm. We've had great support from veterans groups, from industry groups and business owners, from humanitarian groups, from lots of churches. So it really is an issue that people from lots of different backgrounds and ways of approaching life can get behind. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we've tried to do to build community support is to accentuate the positive with whichever group that we are able to speak with. And there's enough common ground that most people, when they understand what the terms mean and they understand the benefit that refugees provide to a community, that they will often change from a original position of opposition to a position of being a enthusiastic advocate or supporter.
In your own lives, what has it done for you personally to be able to have done this?
Several things. I think just the personal friendships have been really wonderful. Sharing food together, Ukrainian food, Afghan food, lots of laughter. We laugh with our newcomer friends a lot, whether it be like driving and kind of bouncing along on a dirt road and with pilots who flew, fighter planes, now learning to drive a car. And we just erupt in gales of laughter and enjoy that together. Lots of questions back and forth. We've been learning about how wonderful Ukraine is and the organic food and the farms there with whole food sources. And it just sounds wonderful and enjoying that. And in the Afghan community or in Afghanistan, just how family rally around each other and how supportive they are. And the clan coming together and making decisions, and just learned a lot about those places. And it's put our friends have put faces to the conflict in between Russia and Ukraine, and then also in Afghanistan. And probably the best thing about it is that the angst that we have when we watch the news about what can we do and feeling so paralyzed, which I think so many people feel that. This actually gives us an outlet for something that we can do with individual people to encourage them and then to learn what their lives are like. So that's just been beautiful.
Wow. I think, as Kim was saying, it's made our worlds bigger with a much more personal connection, especially to Afghanistan and the Ukraine. And we look forward to maybe another country in the future. Mm. But the other thing that has been really rewarding is new relationships within our community. So we've lived in Idaho Falls for 35 years, but we really have a new appreciation for the generosity of people there that we hadn't been connected with yet. So it's been great. It's made our global world bigger, and it's also made our local world bigger.
Wow. That's really cool.
We've just been really happy with the support, too. Yeah. Like Senator Risch's office has, College of Eastern Idaho has welcomed the refugees. President Amon at College of Eastern Idaho has met the gentleman and had them in his office and personally talked with them. And as a former pilot, also just understood maybe some of what their life had been like in the military and made a bond with them over that. And, I hear that he waves to them in the hall and the other students will say, how do you know, the president of the university? And it's because they've taken a personal interest in each other and built a friendship, and they CI has advocated for them as students. Mm-hmm. And that's been the case with, like, say, Senator Risch's office and various people in town.
At this phase, you're seen as the veteran pros of sponsored groups. I know our office comes to you a lot because this is kind of new for the industry. I'm curious what you talk to interested sponsors about. Like, what is the kind of the main advice you give them or guidance that you share with people who are curious about being a sponsor?
So we're connected right now with 7 groups throughout the state in Coeur d'Alene, Moscow, Boise, Pocatello, and Idaho Falls. And some of these groups are knowledgeable and well-organized, and they're so much further along than we were when we started 2 years ago, that our biggest encouragement to them is, you guys are ready, you can do this. And so we primarily see ourselves as cheerleaders for these other groups. And also, if they have specific technical questions that they're struggling figuring out on the internet, we try to answer those questions if we can. But primarily, we're advocates and cheerleaders.
Okay, we have come to do presentations as well. We went to Moscow and we've done a few presentations, and then we also just encouraged or advocated the new sponsor or Welcome Core group in Idaho Falls. We're going, yay, it's somebody else that's taking this on, a young couple, and we're just really proud of them, and they're doing a good job with it. And so that's been fun to see the new people coming through to do that. And so presentations help, I think, if you know, people want to talk and want to have us present.
It's
how to do it.
It's hard to overemphasize how little we knew 2.5 years ago when we got started.
Just jumped in.
We jumped in, and I remember when the pilots had just arrived, and we were working really hard the first couple of weeks, and I was cold calling immigration attorneys, and one of the immigration attorneys said, "Oh, have you contacted the State Office for Refugees yet?" I was like, what are they? I had literally never heard that there was a State Office for Refugees. So about 2 weeks into doing this, I connected with Tara Wolfson, and things really started to click at that point. Mm-hmm. We also were helped a lot by Zaze Raswama at College of Southern Idaho, mm-hmm. Refugee Center. He took us through their facility and showed us, said, okay, this person does our English training. This person does our housing, this person does our employment, this person does our medical interface. And as he was showing us all these different offices, we were thinking, oh, hey, we do English, we do housing, yeah. We do employment, we do medical. And we just realized we're not experts in any of those things. What we're experts in is the relationship with this new family. Mm-hmm. So we got to know, we've gotten to know both groups at a much deeper personal level than I think would have been possible if there were a larger volume of refugees in the city. Mm-hmm. So we're not experts in any of the services, but we're experts in the new friends.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a challenge. We have people coming to us sometimes with questions that we don't operate in that sphere. For instance, like international, like visa questions or things like that, and try to give them the resources that you can. But some of this is just being scrappy and figuring it out, as I'm sure that you have found. So, and staying positive and looking for solutions. What other traits, I guess, would you say, or attitudes are important to have if you're going to enter something like this?
I think finding teammates that you can work together with. We've also really benefited from having teammates who were different ages than us. Like we, with the first sponsor circle with the pilots, the other 3 teammates were all professionals in their 20s. So they were in the same season of life as the pilots who came. That really helped them to connect. It's also really helpful to have somebody who either doesn't have a full-time job because they just don't, or because they're retired, because there really is quite a bit of time commitment, especially for the first few weeks.
Yeah, a lot of driving to appointments and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in places that don't have the robust public transit, and nowhere in Idaho really does. So transportation is always a top thing for us too with people coming.
Yeah, we made a big mistake when the pilots came because we helped them find jobs that were a great fit and a good job, but we didn't take into account that they didn't have a driver's license, they didn't know how to drive, they didn't have a car, but now they had a job.
Mm-hmm.
And so we enlisted a lot of our friends to give rides. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of people showing up at 6 a.m. and coming home at 6 p.m. Giving rides.
Wow.
And part of that, because we just didn't think far enough ahead to realize what we were doing.
Well, it's tough because you have to get a job kind of right away.
Yeah.
Or pretty quickly. And you're right that sometimes the horse doesn't always go before the cart. And you're like, well, oh man. So now that you've gone through this journey with both groups and potentially more in the future, why do you think the ability to do private sponsorship groups like Welcome Court is a valuable thing for us here in America?
One reason is just the geography of the American West. The mileages are so great that there's a lot of great communities that are well suited to resettle new families that until Welcome Court started, were unable to do that because of the 100-mile radius restriction. Mm-hmm. So there's places like Coeur d'Alene, Moscow, Lewiston, Idaho Falls that I think will be great communities that will benefit from having new people who are willing to take essential jobs, and the communities benefit, and the refugee families benefit in the sense that Idaho is just a great place to live, and so they get an opportunity to do that.
When you first met the three guys at the airport, you know, you're brand new to this, you're welcoming people in your community. What was that like to meet them for the first time and welcome them to Idaho Falls?
So when we met the pilots, one of the guys had studied in China.
Okay.
And he came up to me and he said, "Ah, wo ting shuo ni hui shuo zhongwen." And I was like, "Ah, hai ke yi." And so we spent our whole airport conversation talking in Chinese.
Wow.
And he said, "Oh, ni de zhong wen bi, what a yingwen, shua de hao," and trying to tell me, "Oh, my Chinese is so much better than his English," which was a complete lie. His English is far better than my Chinese. In fact, he's been on this Mosaics podcast before, and he sounds like a native speaker. So it was a lie, but a flattering lie.
Yeah.
So we spent the whole time speaking in Chinese when we didn't need to.
So he knew about your background coming into it, and they got to see who their sponsors were going to be, and it's almost like a blind date.
Yeah.
A life-changing blind
yeah.
date. That's really cool that you could connect over that shared experience, though. Well, thanks for the just the educational insight that you've been able to provide, even to our office. I know we've come to you. This is a new program, and it's good to have people like you who are in the community and putting your heart into it. It's a huge commitment, and I really value the work that you're doing, and I know it's been amazing for your lives too. And you work hard, but it's been rewarding, I know, as well. So thanks for being able to be a mentor to others who are interested in doing something similar.
Thank you also. We received a ton of help from IOR and direction, but also you can do this and resources. Basically, when we were stuck, we could call. And actually, Tarek came in, visited us personally, and helped us with some things and smoothed the way. It was great.
Wow. That's cool. Tara's a good person to have on your team.
Yeah.
Get something done.
For sure.
She'll get it done.
I'll say.
So I retired from my engineering career 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. When I retired, I didn't realize that we'd have this opportunity. But I told people I'm retiring because I want to write more, volunteer more, and travel more. Mm-hmm. And so the way it's turned out is I haven't done nearly as much writing or traveling as I expected, because working with Idaho Falls Bridge Builders and doing the refugee resettlement has been so much fun and so rewarding that it's what I want to do with my time. So it's been, the rewards to us have been way more than we imagined that they would be. So we're grateful to be part of the team in Idaho.
That's great. And you're an author, I should say, too. Joe brought me one of his three books. I'm going to do a little plug for you. But Joe has written about his time, their family's time in China. And you have two other books, too, that I'm interested to check out. So thank you for that, for sharing that with us.
Well, thank you for plugging my book.
That's great.
That's the family, about living with the family, sharing property with the family that took us into their lives,
Oh, wow.
Right into the center of a tribal family's life. And we got to hang out with them for 6 years and raise our kids with their kids. And
I see the little boys running together.
Yeah, that's cool. Our son and his best friend. See?
Wow. I'm excited to read that. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
I know, too, that, you know, as resettlement expands outside of the communities that have the agencies, because there are people who are experts and get to do the, you know, I focus on employment, I focus on housing, whereas the sponsor groups really have to check those boxes in all the categories, and they might not be in a community that has a long history of particularly refugee resettlement. So we do, at the Idaho Office of Refugees, you know, we do hope you'll reach out if you're interested, and I won't have, you know, I won't have a list of resources for every particular community, but I can help you go in the right direction. And for others around the state who might be interested in learning about working with people who are new to America, we do have partners that lead trainings and for, you know, teachers and other professionals that I can definitely connect you with. And we have our regional conference coming up this year. It's going to be in October, the Northwest Conference on Resettlement. And we do go over, and I know Joe and Kim were there last year helping lead a workshop for this very topic. We go over cultural and community building type skill building workshops and conversations there. So if anyone has their interest piqued by this conversation, please reach out, mosaics@idahorefugees.org. I'll try to make sure I get the you connected in. Welcome Corps also has periodic sessions that you can join, whether you want to join live or watch a webinar, just with kind of the basics about applying and maybe seeing if it is a fit that you want to pursue. So check out Welcome Corps' website as well. Joe and Kim, are there any other things that you'd like to mention before we wrap up today?
If you're interested in learning more about what we're doing in Idaho Falls, our nonprofit has a website, Idaho Falls Bridge Builders. So you're welcome to read our newsletters and sign up for newsletters on that website.
That's great. IdahoFallsBridgeBuilders.org?
It's not that simple. Just Google it.
Oh, just Google it. Okay. Good to know. I know we have partners called Bridges as well in Pocatello that are very engaged in the refugee community there. So, but you're right. It's a great place to live, and because of people like you, and I'm really thankful for all that you do. So thanks, Joe and Kim.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for joining the conversation. For more information on how to be involved with refugee resettlement, please visit idahorefugees.org. Mosaics is produced by the Idaho Office for Refugees with grant support from the M.J. Murdoch Charitable Trust. Music by the Afrosonics. Production in partnership with SB Studios.